And I always try to do something special for our young people on Youth Sunday. And I want to preach to you today, but this is a message for each and every one of us. And we needed a few props and a few things, so I slid the communion table out here. I believe it'd be pleasing to God to use this for this demonstration. But if you've got your Bibles with you today, I want you to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 6, I believe we are. The book of Matthew, chapter number 6. Before we stand to read the scripture, I'm going to ask all of our young people if they would to come and sit up front. Amen. Y'all wouldn't mind doing that, would you? Some of them are smiling, some of them are just looking at Tyler, that includes you. Come on, big football player. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. Tanner, over here. I tell you what, we're going to switch places. We're going to let the boys sit up front and the girls sit behind. There we go. And there is a reason for that. Honestly, I figured Dwight would come up here and sit with him, just to be. Amen. Amen. We appreciate our young people, and my job is to help you in any way that I can, and most importantly, as the under shepherd, to protect his sheep. Amen. I believe the shepherd in the field is supposed to do that, and that's what I want to do today. I got to thinking about something yesterday, and it probably didn't make any sense to my wife when I asked her this question. But you know, most children, as they grow up, they know what not to do. Amen. You don't have to teach a kid how to lie, because they know how. It's the flesh, it's the sin nature. As we grow up, we know what not to do, but sometimes we need to be instructed on what to do. And that's what we want to do today. If you've got your Bibles and you found your place in Matthew chapter number 6, if you would stand with me for the reading and for the reverence of God's holy word. We're going to be in two places in chapter number 6 here. We're going to read verses 19 through 21 and then verse 33. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 6 and verse 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." In verse number 33, the Bible says this, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." These young people, don't be mad at me because I made you come up here and sit in the front. Amen. Y'all not going to hold a grudge against me, are you? All right, all right. Please don't do that. Amen. I want each and every one of us to take ourselves back to when, let's see, who's Miss Bree? How old are you? 7. And of course, Houston's probably the oldest. You're what, 20? 19. Won't be long until he's 20 and 21 and out of the house and got a job and moved off. So take this opportunity while you can still consider yourself a youth of this church. Amen. I want us all to take ourselves back to a place between the age of 7 years old and 19 years old. Amen. For a lot of boys, it's they know everything. Amen. We've raised two boys. I can't speak much for ladies and what they do or don't do or how they act, I guess would be a better way to say. But I do know how young boys, when they start getting up near the, we used to be 13 and now it's, I guess, at 11. They know everything. Amen. They know everything to do, not to do, and the best way to do. Amen. But our jobs, our parents, are this. The Bible tells us we are supposed to train up a child in the way they should go, and when they were old, they will never depart from it. And I believe what the Word of God is telling us, as in my life it was, I believe my mom would testify to this, that sometimes we do get away from the Word of God, get away from God, get away from the church, but we're going to come back, amen, when we're instructed what to do and how to do it. And one of the most important things that we should understand is that God knows what's best for us, amen. That's hard to get us to understand that sometimes. God knows best for you, and He knows when the best time to do things. He just knows everything about us, amen. And I thank God for that. Who likes rice? Amen. I brought a little rice in today. Actually, this is exactly 2 pounds. Within just a few probably grains of rice that fell on the kitchen floor last night, of being 2 pounds of rice. I want us to look at this scripture here this morning. As the Word of God tells us in Matthew chapter number 6, verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt. I thought that was kind of interesting how the scripture says only 2 things that can cause harm to material things. One of them is a moth. Wonder why God would say where moths can corrupt. Why is that? What does a moth do? It'll eat your clothes. We got to understand 2,000 years ago, when wealthy people, one of the things that they done was arrayed themselves in clothing. And the other thing says here were rust doth corrupt. What does rust do? What does rust do to what? Metal rust. There are some metals that don't rust because they're not magnetic. They cannot be oxidized. And all rust is oxygen getting into that metal and water and turning it to rust. Well, he says here, where moth and rust doth corrupt. So, back in the biblical days, one of the things that they had was not only the clothing that they had, but the jewelry that they had. And God's telling us here, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt. And all the things that rust and moths cannot do, he says, where thieves can break through and steal. Well, let's just forget I even said that, okay? What are some of the things that you like to do at school, at home? Landon, what's something you like to do? Okay, now listen, guys. Y'all going to have to participate because this is Youth Sunday. There's nobody else sitting in here. We're going to pretend they all just left us to be by ourselves, all right? So y'all going to have to participate. You like to play the PlayStation. I'm not even going to ask you what kind of games you like. Let's pretend that this rice is what you like to do. I want you to come and I want you to put this rice. This is your life. This is your life, your life, your life, every one of your lives, the things that you like to do. I want you to take some PlayStation and put it into Landon's life. Don't be scared. You've been to this church longer than I have. Well, hold on a second. Let's do like this. See how it's... There you go. All right. That's a little bit of PlayStation in Landon's life. Tyler, what do you like to do? Play sports. I knew you was going to say that. Come here and put some sports in Tyler's life. There you go. Oh, man, we're filling it up now. What about you, Tanner? Can anybody guess? No. All right. Come here, Tanner, and put some fishing in your life. No, you don't need to put 2. What about you, Houston? You'd have never thought that, would you? Let's put some drawing in your life. All righty then. We're getting pretty filled up. Rhett, what do you like to do? Exercise, that's good. Can't you talk your dad into doing anything? I'll tell you what. You know what? I was mowing the yard yesterday, and I thought about exercising. I said this. I said, you know what, God? I said, I'm not going to try to get in shape. I'm just going to try to let you shape me. Amen. You can think on that. That was a freebie. All right, Bree, what do you like to do? I feel like a chef. What do you like to do? Play with your sister. How about that? All right. Come here and let's put some fat from sister time into your life. Thank you very much. All right, Kenley, what do you like to do in your life? Play volleyball. All right, let's put some volleyball into your life. So I give you ladies some more time to think about this. All right. And I'm sorry, what did you say your name was? Courtney. She told me earlier, but y'all know what kind of memory I've got. I come from West High. I can't help it. What do you like to do? Sports. There you go. Put some sports into your life. Last but not least, what do you like to do, Reagan? Softball. All right. Come here and let's put some softball into your life. I probably don't know the best way to do this. There you go. Wow. Thank you very much. And all but just a few grains of fun things to do. Look at that. Almost all of them. We're just going to top it off. I cannot believe, let me ask you parents this. Let's say this first. Out of all the things that were mentioned, of course, we know that we're in church today, right? Right? Okay. So, and they know they're in church today. Okay, I'm gonna ask the parents this: what's one of the things? And you don't have to speak, or you can speak. What are you doing back there? You're supposed to be up here. You better get up here. I even forgot she was sitting back there, little Miss Anastasia. Parents, what are some of the things you can't believe your kids said? Anybody think anything? Oh, yeah. I mean, what did we learn Wednesday night? I mean, social media. Gosh, probably at least a third of these kids have got cell phones, so they're always on it. Or iPad or something. It's okay to do things that you want to do. It's okay to play sports. I'm not trying to get us a false sense. I'm not trying to be a legalistic preacher and get us a false sense that it's not okay to do any of these things. These all were good things to do. Probably the best one was Bree's answer about playing with her sister. It's good to spend family time. Amen. We could sit here all day and think about the things that we enjoy doing as human beings. What we like spending time with our friends, our family. We like playing sports. We like drawing. I've done all these things. Most everybody in here has done some of these things. Amen. And it's okay to do those things. But you see, in our lives, we're pretending like this is our life. This big old mason jar is our life, and we filled it up with the things that we want to do. And that's good. We're going to do that. We're going to continue to do that. But it's all in how we do it. It's the order that we need to do it in. And I want us to sit here and think about some things that God would have us to do. Amen. What do you think would be something that God would have you to do? Just take one. What do you think God would want you to do in your life? This is the thing. This is not golf. This is just something that we're going to resemble what God would want us to do. I need to use every single one of these. Have you thought about something? Okay. Who else wants to participate? Well, since everybody stood up. Do you want to participate? You don't. I'll get it. I'm not even going to say nothing. What are some of the things that God would want us to do? Could you imagine, just as Jesus Christ wrote this scripture, could you imagine if the back doors swung open and Jesus Christ walked in, where do you think he's going to go first? Huh? To the unsaved? Very, very good question. You'd have to ask him. I really don't know. I'm just guessing. I was thinking he would either come and sit down, not to disrupt the service, or he would come to the altar, probably get off to the side and start praying. So what are some of the things that God would have us to do? Rhett, what do you think God would have you to do? Learn about him. Very good. What does it take to learn? Just put one in. This is what God wants you to do, okay? It's all right. We'll get the hang of it here in a second. What do you think, Houston, that God would want you to do? Witness, to be a very good answer. Tanner, what do you think God would want you to do? Go to church, very good answer. Tyler, what do you think God would want you to do?
Bible study,
very good. Landon?
Reading your Bible,
very good. What about you, Bree? What do you think God would want you to do? I'll come back to you. How's that? What about you, Reagan?
Sing in the choir.
Very good. What about you, Courtney?
Share his story.
What about you?
Pray.
Very good. All right, Bree. What do you think God would want you to do? Help others. Very good. All right. Wow. We're just about getting it filled up, aren't we? Dwayne, what do you think the Lord would have you to do? Be a soul winner. What about you, Dwight?
Spiritual leader.
Oh, man. Spiritual leader. Witness. Sorry, guys. What just happened? How many... 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 13 things more that God would have us to do. We're not going to be able to do it, are we? We're not going to be able to do it because I don't think this looks too good, does it? Don't look right. Something's missing. What happens when we start thinking about ourselves first before we think about what God wants us to do? I want to tell us that every time we think about what we want to do, we need to think about what God would have us to do. He says, but. Verse number 20 says, but. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I want us to look to this, and I'm going to try to give us an outline of that's going to help us look into what we can do and how we can do it. Proverbs chapter number 16, verse 3 says this, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The very first thing that we need to do is make it a commitment unto God. If we are Christians, the first thing that God has asked us to do is make a commitment. We have to turn our lives over to Him. When we make that commitment to Him, then God is going to help us, the Word says, to establish. And that's what I'm here today. I'm not here to try to teach you what not to do. I'm trying to teach you what to do. And the first thing that we have to do is exactly what Proverbs says. He says, commit thy works unto the Lord. We need to make a commitment unto God. We need to make a commitment that God, that we would be all these things that have been spoken. Soul winners, to study our Bible, to pray, all these things. We need to make a commitment to God. But if say Landon had all these golf balls, were all the things that God wanted him to do, and he had all those, well, he can't get in his life everything that God would have him to do. We can't do it. So what are we going to do? We're going to empty our life out. Now who's going to put all the rice back in there? We're going to start all over. We're going to empty our life out. We're going to make a commitment. We're going to say, oh God, okay, God, here I am. I'm going to surrender my life to you. I'm going to make a commitment unto you, and I'm going to do it just as how you tell me to do it. Amen. It's okay to take directions from God. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. Halfway through the verse, it says this, first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. We see here the first thing that we need to do is give ourselves. 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 First, we have to give ourselves to God. If we don't give God ourselves, how can we get to do the things that we want to do and then the things that God wants us to do? How can we do that? Romans 8:5 says this, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. So, if all the things that I want to do is the rice that was on the bottom of my life, the things that I put in my life first, those are the things of the flesh. And if you want to live in the flesh, you're going to mind the things that are of the flesh. But he says this. He says, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Keep in their mind. When we try to keep our life in the Spirit, and in God's graces and mercy and forgiveness, and when we surround ourselves with the presence of God, God's not going to, our convicting spirit's not going to let us put everything that we want to do in our life and nothing that God wants us to do. So I believe we got this a little backwards, don't we? Okay. Y'all have to give me just a second. I want everybody to have the same amount of golf balls. Ooh, that was a good catch. See, this is not just one of those boring services where you're falling asleep. You're actually getting involved, man. I know, I see y'all fall asleep all the time. Bunch of heathens. No, I'm just kidding. Great kids, aren't they? It's the same one, I make sure. Okay. So can anybody tell me what we need to do first? Okay, I'm going to tell you since nobody's going to answer. We need to do what God would have us to do when? First in our life. So, Landon, what do you think God would have you to do?
Worship Him.
Worship Him. What about you, Tyler?
Serving.
What about you, Tanner?
Witness.
What about you, Houston?
Pray.
Rhett, what do you think?
Tell people about Him.
Look at that. Pretty neat, huh? They go to church week in and week out, and you put them on the spot, they go blank. Help others. Read the Bible. Share the story. Testimony. Share the gospel story. What about you, Reagan? Go to church. Very good. I'm sorry, Brother Dwayne. What about you? Soul winner.
Trusting.
Praising. Man, look at this. Have faith. Be a Christian parent. Very well. How about you?
Trusting.
What about you, Brother Jason? Witness to it. Man, we're getting this thing filled up. What about you, Reagan? Have you thought of another one?
Offerings.
Very good. Okay. Brett, how about you? Buddy, very good.
Read.
Be a fisher of men. Bible study. Help others. Pray. Believe. Oh my goodness. Wow. Can you believe that everything that was put into here, everything that God wanted us to do, is doing what? Flowing out. When we take our lives and we put the things of God in them, and we what did Jesus say? What his cup was what? It was overflowing. I know he was Jesus Christ, but he was in the flesh. He was just like you and I, breathing, going to the church and teaching. He was doing all those things. He knew what it was like to be tempted. He knew what it was like to be hungry and thirsty. I mean, oftentimes he was found at the well. He knew what it was like to rest. He was on the ship asleep. He knew what it was like to be in these situations. And where we as Christians think so many times that just think about the things that Jesus went through when the people hated him. He said, they'll hate me before they hate you because they hated me first. Amen. Think about the life that he lived and the things that he done. Well, I have to do this way. I'm not taking the things out. My lid's just not big enough. My opening's just not big enough. Amen. PlayStation. That's what you like to do, ain't it? All right. Let's put some PlayStation in your life. I want everybody to think about this. This is your life and each and every one of our lives. Just think about the things that God said that we need to do. First, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Of course, we're going to keep his commandments. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Love thy neighbor as thyself, as we so wonderfully heard in the testimonies about charity, about love, compassion, and giving. But God knows that we're going to need to do some things that we want to do, right? And Landon, he wants to go home right now because I've mentioned PlayStation so many times. He wants to go home and play the PlayStation. So we're going to let him play the PlayStation. Come here, Landon. Put some PlayStation in your life. All right. What about you, Tyler? Sports, that was right. Put some sports in your life. Tanner, put some fly tying in your life. Put some fishing in here. Man, look at that. You mean all those things that God allowed us to do, he's allowing us to do some of the things that we want to do. What about you, Houston? Draw. Put some drawing in your life. The next Nike design artist. What about you, Brett? Exercise. Come on over here and exercise. You're going to have your dad so fired up to exercise when you leave here. You probably end up going to the Y. What about you, Bree? Come here and put some playing with your sister in your life. How about you, Miss Kenley? Volleyball. Tuesday they have a match, 4:30. At Elkin, right? Okay. So anybody that can needs to come out and support them. What about you? All right. Miss Courtney, can you believe it? She's the center for the volleyball. Wow. What about you, Reagan? Softball. I'm sorry, I couldn't remember all these great answers that y'all had. Put some softball in your life. If this was my life, you know what I would say? Preaching. I love to preach. I know it's doing something for the Lord, but it's also doing something for me because it gets me closer to Him. Now, what just happened? Didn't we do this just like 15 minutes ago? What happened? It all fit. Wonder why. We done it in the right order. So what happens in our life when we put God first? He makes it work. When we put God first, He allows us to do the things for Him and the things for us. God's not a selfish God. Yes, He wants us to love Him. And He wants us to do those things that He's commanded us to do. And the promises that He's instructed us with in His Word, He wants us to keep them. He wants us to follow Him as close as possible. But we've got lives to live. We've got things that need to be done. I got to go to work. Well, what can I do while I'm at work? I can be a witness to Him. I can pray unto Him. I can do those things while I'm at work. Amen. When I'm playing on the what did you call it? PlayStation. I can take a break and read His Word and pray, then get right back on the PlayStation. When I'm playing sports, that I can be a witness while I'm playing sports. When I'm playing with my sister, I can play with her and I can also teach her how to be a godly sister and teach her the things of the Bible. So many times we think of that awful verse in the Bible that says, pray without ceasing. We think that's an impossibility, but it's not. It's a possibility. It would not be in the Word of God if it was impossible for us to do. Anything that we can do, we can pray, amen. And anything that we can do, we can be a witness unto God. No matter what it is or who we're around, we still have to be the same Christian, amen. Well, hold on a second. Let me back up and say this. Before God will allow everything to be fit into our life, first, we have to turn our life over to Him. Amen. Now, I wasn't trying to just throw that in there. I was trying to wait. God said, right now, right here, when we need salvation, that should be the thing that just fills that whole jar, fills our whole life up with Him and says, God, come to me and accept me as my Lord and Savior. Save me. That is the very first thing that we need in our life. If we're not saved, God's not going to allow this to work. He's not going to allow us to put everything of Him in our life and everything that we want to do in our life. So first we have to surrender our life. As the Word of God said there, and the second thing that I brought out, we've got to commit ourselves to God. To make a commitment is trusting Him with salvation and saving our lives. Amen. God doesn't want us to go around as miserable Christians trying to be unhappy and displeased. What He wants us to do, He wants us to serve Him. He said this in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. If thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. When we love somebody, we put them as a priority in our life. Amen. We do that. That's how we're geared as human beings. When we are trying to take care of our children, take care of our spouse, we put them as a priority in our life. When we love God, we put God as a priority in our life. And that's what we have to do. We have to sit down and say, okay, God, this is my life. How do you want me to prioritize things in my life to better serve you? God will show us. But until we get things in order, first with salvation, second with surrendering our life after salvation, and third, giving Him the things in our life that's going to help us serve Him better. When we do this, God allows all the things to be put into the jar. See, He's still running out of our life. And we get to do everything that we wanted to do. But when we want to do all the things that we want to do first, fill our life up with us instead of God, we don't get to do the things that God wants us to do. And you know the sad thing about that? When we don't do the things that God would have us to do, we miss a blessing from it. And it was just a blessing to be in Sunday school class this morning. And Tanner was asked to teach the Sunday school lesson. But he didn't. But see how God still works when you give Him the Sunday school class? I knew Tanner wasn't going to teach this morning, so you know what that made me do? Pray even harder for Brother Bill. Lisa asked me two or three times, she said, do you think he studied? I said, I know he has. I said, I know he's prepared. And I just will pray even harder for him. And look what God done in the Sunday school class. Testimonies were given of how God has blessed people's heart to give and see the blessing from it and receive the blessing. I don't know about you, but I love the blessings of God. But when we're not obedient to God, how does God bless us? Why would He bless us? He don't. But when we put our life in order and ask God to help us prioritize things so we can see the importance of how much it means to Him for us to serve Him. The most amazing thing, and I want to tell you all this, the most amazing thing about God is God don't need us. He don't need us. He don't need any of us. But you know what He wants? He wants to use us. See, God is so big, is so powerful, and so amazing that He can do it all by Himself. But when you take a group of kids or a church and they come together and start praying over the things that need to be done in the community or in the church or in people's lives as individuals, because somebody took the time to pray and to seek Him, then God starts answering prayers. See, God could just snap His finger right now. If somebody's sick in this church, God could just snap His finger and they'd be healed. But see, He wants us to be committed to Him, to pray. See, He don't need us to save a neighbor out here. But He chooses to use us to go to them, invite them to church, to tell them about Jesus Christ. See, He wants to use us. If I was running a business, would I want to hire somebody that's all they done is thought about themselves and didn't care about the company? Well, that's the same way God works. God's in the business of soul winning. So why would He want to use somebody that's all they've done is thought about themselves? God wants us to think about Him. When we put Him first, He lets all the other things in our lives matter. As long as They're good things. Get filled up with God first, and then fill the rest of your life up with the rest of the things they're in. You know, I used to struggle about sports. But I've read so many testimonies of God using people in sports. Racing, golf. Who am I to say that God can't use anybody anywhere? You know what? I say dream big. Put your heart and soul and your mind into serving God, and God will let you be exactly who you want to be. If it's a designer, if it's a sport athlete, if it's a video game producer, if it's a professional guide. See, God allow us all these things to happen as long as we put Him first. Say, well, baseball players are on, I mean, they play 200 games out of a season, it seems like, close to it. They don't get to go to church on Sunday very much. But guess what I heard from a testimony that I read about a baseball player? They have Bible study on the games, on the days that they have are out of town on Sunday. They sit together and they pray. Because if you remember a couple weeks ago, or was it last Sunday, when I preached on God is everywhere. No, that was Wednesday night. God can be in social media because God is everywhere we take Him. See, no matter where you go as a Christian, God goes with you. Amen. So what would he rather you do? Think about me, myself, and I all the time, or think about Him? I got something I want to give you. Matthew chapter number 6, verse 33 says this. I want y'all to look that up with me. Okay. Y'all see it? You got it? I like to write my verses out. I mean, it helps me remember them better. The Bible says this, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." All these things that you want to do in your life. But first, seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Makes sense, don't it? Can y'all repeat that with me? 1, 2, 3. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. How about that? Do you play golf? But you'd like to have a golf ball with some scripture on it, wouldn't you? You're welcome. Houston, when you go to college, you're going to put that on your desk. All right? There you go. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures upon this earth, because one of these days this earth's going to pass away. And in the end, you'll be up there. Wouldn't it be more important and more valuable to go ahead right now and lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, because in your 100 years here on this earth, you're going to be up there for hundreds of thousands of years? Be a better investment, wouldn't it? Y'all don't know about IRAs and portfolios now, but you'll learn one of these days. But set up your, for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust cannot corrupt, nor can thieves break through or steal. Let us stand. I'm going to ask Miss Connie, if she would, to come to the piano. She begins to play, every head bowed and every eye closed. I don't know how this message has affected you today. But if God has spoke to your heart about something in your life, would you come? How about you today? Would you come? How about you today? Would you come? You know, God's not trying to make a mountain, make a molehill out of a mountain. He's just trying to make your life more suitable, more moral, more loving, more kind, more Christian. How about you today? Would you come? Before we pray, maybe there's somebody here today that I'll not come to you nor embarrass you, but maybe there's somebody just slip their hand up and say, "Preacher, I've never asked Jesus Christ into my heart to save me." Would you just slip your hand up right back down? How about you today? Nobody looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you just slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I've never been saved." How about you today? How about you today? Before we pray, I just want to go home and I want to pray for you. I want to keep you on my heart that God had burdened your heart to save you. Convict your heart and show you how to be saved. Would you just slip your hand up right back down? How about you today? People praying right now. How about you? Just slip your hand up right back down. Maybe there's somebody here today that's just put more of their self in their life than they have of God in their life. Maybe you'd just like to come to the altar and say, "Lord, empty me that I put more of you in my life." How about you today? Would you come? Pour yourself out to God on this altar and ask Him to help you. How about you today? Before we pray, would you come? On the last stanza of this song, would you come? How about you today? Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, God, I just pray, Father, Lord, that you just help each and every one of us, Father, Lord, to empty ourselves out. God, that we'd be filled up with you, Father, Lord. We'd put more of you in our life, Father. And, Lord, how we do that is John 3:30, the Bible says that you must increase, but we must decrease. And God, help us to decrease, God, that you'd be increased and into our lives. And, Lord, I just pray, God, for our youth, the young people of this church, the young people that are seated here today, God, we just thank you and praise you for them, Father. And Lord, we just pray, God, that you'd wrap your protective blanket around them, your hedges high up around them, Father. Lord, that you just help them, Father, Lord, as they go through this world. Lord, we know they're going to face adversities, trials, and tribulations. But God, we know one that's sitting on a throne today, Father, Lord, that can take care of all that. And God, we just put our trust and our faith in you. And God, I pray, Lord, that they would put their trust and faith in you, Father. And Lord, we just pray, God, as we go through this week, Father, Lord, that you'd help us to get prepared for revival, Father. Lord, that you'd empty us out, God, that you'd be able to fill us up next week. And Lord, I just pray for your touch and your help. Lord, if there's one here today, God, that knows thee not in a free pardon and forgiveness of sin, God, continue, please, we pray, to convict that heart so that they be saved before it's everlasting too late. God, we just want to thank you and praise you today for all those that were here, for the young people. God, we just pray you'd touch and help each and every one of us to be filled up with you. Lord, we love you and thank you. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we do so humbly pray. Amen. 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 Anything on anybody's heart? As Brother Bill said, maybe somebody will continue that testimony that they was supposed to have this morning. Sunday morning, next Sunday morning, revival will start. Please, please be here if you can. I talked to Brother Dwayne Thursday and meant to mention it in the prayer room this morning, and we've just let it slip away, but I believe this is how God's ordained it. We had talked about this Wednesday night service going on visitation. I do not do this. I do not miss service. Do not try to go somewhere else because I'm always afraid if we have a visitor come by and the doors are closed, doors are locked, nobody's here, then that leaves a bad taste in somebody's mouth. I want us to be here to worship God. But what I'd like for us to do is those that can and want to meet here at 7, we'll take prayer requests, we'll have an altar of prayer and go out and knock on doors and visit. Those that can meet early, if you'll let me know how early you can meet, maybe say 4:35, we'll knock on doors beforehand. If nobody can meet before, we'll do it after. We'll do it at 7 when we meet here for service. But you just let me know. I'd be willing to go. I get off work at 2:30, could be here by 4 o'clock. So you just let me know if there's anybody that wants to go before service. I'd be glad to go with you. And we can get a group together then. We can do it afterwards. Y'all just let me know. But if nobody says anything today about Wednesday night service, we're going to meet here at 7 o'clock, have prayer, and then we're going to go knock on some doors. Amen. So, preacher, why would you do that on Wednesday night? I got to thinking about this. And those people that aren't in church, that need to be in church, that are probably backslidden and out of church, need to be visited. Amen. And what better time to catch them when they're at home? So y'all be much in prayer for that, and pray God to just have his will and his way in it. Amen. That we can knock on some doors, get some people to church. I can't say any more. I'm going to go into all the great details of revival. Do pray for what Miss Ginger has been working on about feeding and preaching. Excuse me. Ginger's not going to preach. She preached to Dwight, but she's not going to preach to the football team. Okay, let me get that squared away. What she's been trying to do with East High and Elkin, and the coach at Elkin has told her, so we want our boys to come. And so y'all be praying for that. And we just want to preach to them, feed them, and make sure that they know about salvation. Amen. Because it's our God-given responsibility that we do that. Anything on anybody's heart? Again, I appreciate each and every one of you being here. I love each and every one of you, and I just want the best for you, amen? And I know God would want the same. All hearts free. Pray for the services this week, visitation. And there are some flyers that are on the table in the vestibule. Take one with you. Put it up somewhere. And let people know that Mount Calvary has revival. Amen. All hearts free.